Fantastic. So tonight we start off a brand new series, Mystic Radical. And as I said at the just earlier, this whole series, but particularly this evening, it's a recognition of where we want to go, and more importantly, who we want to be. Some of us have been away from church over the course of the pandemic, starting to find our way back in. Some of you watching online, still just taking things as they come. But for all of us, it's a chance to reevaluate. You go through a time like we've been through, and it makes you think about your priorities in life. It makes you think about how you do and what you do and what you're going for and what you're looking for. And it's a fantastic time right now at the start of a brand new season, a brand new kind of academic year, to be able to think and ask ourselves the question, what does faith mean to me? And what's church all about? And what kinds of people should we look like? So if you're not a believer here, or if you're just kind of a little bit new, finding your way in, this is a great opportunity to find out and to ask the question, what is faith supposed to be about? If you've got questions, this is a great time for us to be able to lay out a little bit of a vision of what church is, because we can all have our preconceived notions of what church is, what faith is. But when I look at Scripture, I find something which is challenging, and I find something which is inspiring. And what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks, I'm kicking off, and then Claire comes in next week. Sam tops it off at the end in 2 weeks' time. But we're going to look at one particular psalm, Psalm 84. And this gives us our title, Mystic Radical. When you look at Psalm 84, there's an introduction to it, which doesn't always happen in the Psalms. The Psalms are a collection of songs. We just got the lyrics, but they're slap bang in the middle of the Bible and written roughly about 1,000 years ago. So ancient literature and ancient musical forms. And Psalm 84, it says this. It says, for the director of music, according to Gittith of the sons of Korah, a psalm. Now, we don't really know what Gittith means, but we do know about sons of Korah because of extensive research, theological understanding, archaeological discoveries over the last few years. Sons of Korah was the number one favorite boy band in ancient Israel. You think of Sons of Korah, and you just need to imagine One Direction, but just a few more tassels. So they are the kind of the favorite boy band of every teenage kid in ancient Israel. You've got the cute one, you got the cheeky one, you got the ultra-orthodox one, and, you know, it kind of goes on like that. By the way, I need to give credit to Matt Miles for this. It's his gag. He says, if no one laughs, then don't give me credit. So laugh, and then I can give him credit. But you imagine just a couple of office workers on a Friday afternoon just winding things up for the weekend. One says to the other, what have you got planned this weekend? Anything fun, anything cool that you're doing? The other says, yeah, I got tickets to the latest Sons of Korah gig. The other guy's like, no way, how'd you do that? Well, you know, my cousin's a roadie. Yeah, he carries their zithers and their lyres and their cymbals. What, even the very loud cymbal? Yeah, the very loud cymbal. He scored me tickets. I'm going to Sons of Korah. And then the first guy says, yeah, well, Sons of Korah, they're great, but I gotta admit, I really like their early stuff best. You know, Psalm 42 was a banger, you know, as the deer. Love that. But some of this latest stuff, like the latest psalms that they've been done, they just... that confused me. Like Psalm 84. This is what's the problem with Psalm 84. Well, Psalm 84, it doesn't know what it is. I mean, pick a theme, pick a point, choose one and stick with it. But Psalm 84, it doesn't make any sense. It's like a contradiction in the key of G. I don't understand what they're trying to say. And it just feels like the lyrics are a little bit random, you know, random. And I don't get what is going on with that psalm. So the friend says, well, you need to understand what's happening with that psalm is two complete opposite things, but they fit together in this wonderful, wonderful way. And they epitomize what it means to be a mystic radical. But before we talk about mystic radicals, before we understand what that is all about, you need to understand about blessing. Because Psalm 84 really is a psalm, it's a song about blessing. Three times, three Beatitudes, three times that it gives you an idea of what it means to be blessed. And I don't just mean regular blessing. Put your hand up. How many of you here today online want to be blessed? Put your hands up. It's kind of a, you know, it's like a preach question. Of course, we all want to be blessed. But in our kind of current climate, blessed is just a hashtag that people put on their Instagram when they've got their first skinny pumpkin latte of the season. And it's usually something about, you know, my life is really good. I've got nice things. I'm hashtag blessed. But in Scripture, blessed means something more profound. It means that the God of the universe, the God who made me, the God who knows me, He has actually spoken a word of promise into my life, that I'm in right relationship with Him, that I have an assurance that no matter what happens, be my life ever so hard, that God is going to work things out. He's blessed me. He's spoken good things over me. There is a future that is bright for me. Even if my present might be a challenge, I am blessed. And Psalm 84, the sons of Korah, they say, you need to know what it means to be blessed. Because it's not just, well, I hope that I'm blessed. And maybe if I'm a Christian, then I'll be blessed. No, the Psalm says, there are certain things that you can do in order to be blessed. There's certain ways in which you can live in order to be blessed. There's a certain goal and a vision that you can be inspired to run after in order to know God's manifold blessing over your life. So it starts like this. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Then it goes on. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. And then here it comes. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. So it kicks off, and it's a picture of having a kind of faith and a deep spirituality, the like of which we hardly ever see these days. So it kicks off, it says, how lovely, how awesome, how incredible, how beautiful is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. And that word dwelling place, it's the word literally tabernacle. It's a special word. It's a favorite word of Scripture. It means the place where God lives. It is literally a place where heaven, God's space, and earth, our space, intersect. And you could go to the temple, and by the time that this song is written, it's a temple, and it's ornate, and it's magnificent, and it's incredible to see. But whether it's a temple in Jerusalem, or whether it's a tent of tabernacle in the wilderness, it is the place where God is. Tabernacle is a movable feast. So when the Bible talks about Jesus coming down, God coming down as a human being, it says, we've seen the Word, the one and only God who made His dwelling among us. He tabernacled, same word. He was the intersection of heaven and earth for human beings so that we could taste Him, touch Him. And what the song is saying here is he's saying, do you know what it means to be blessed? Do you know what you have to do in order to be blessed? There's something about having a deep desire for God. I want to have a hunger and a thirst for God. I want to connect. And that's true, isn't it? All of us as human beings, whether you've got faith or whether you don't have faith or whether you're somewhere in between, we all have an innate desire for something more. There's more to life than just living for the weekend, working for the man, taking pictures of your food. There's more to life than iPhones and IKEA. There's more to life than just the shallow pleasures that are so often handed out to us. We have a spiritual desire. We have a hunger to connect with the transcendent. We know that we were meant for something more. You know, the early church father, Augustine, he says this. He says, oh Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. In other words, the very human condition is that we're looking and we're longing and we're yearning and we're wanting something more. And if we can just burst out of the bubble of shallow, superficial materialism, consumerism, the kind of distraction, all the time that we spend doing things that don't really matter, don't really nourish ourselves, all those empty calories that we take as just a good time where we can, the kind of pathetic, happy meal, McDonald's answer for satisfaction and meaning in life, we have an inbuilt desire for something more. And this psalm says, you are blessed if you can dwell in God's house. In other words, we want to have a deeper spirituality. We want to be like the mystics, like the early church fathers or the desert fathers, women and men who had such a desire to push in and press in to that intersection between heaven and earth that they denied themselves. They went into solitary places. They practiced disciplines and devotions of quietness, stillness, solitude, meditation, reciting and remembering scripture, worship, prayer, and all the kind of Christian virtues of forgiveness and humility and serving the poor. They were called the mystics because they had a simple focus on one thing. I just want to dwell. How many of you right now, and don't put your hands up for this because this is a real question, but answer the question in your own heart. How many of you right now, when you think about your faith and you think about your relationship with God, it's quite shallow? Particularly when we have a disruption like we've all been through, we can get nudged out of our rhythms and our routines. And then you suddenly realize that actually my faith was more about meeting church services and singing songs and having the buzz. But there's no real depth. How many of us have found ourselves struggling? Like there's not enough to draw upon in times of hardship. Or how many, it might be more of a positive thing, that you just found yourself, oh my goodness, the contrast between what God can give me and what's on offer in my everyday 9-to-5. I need to devote more of my life to God. I need to push in. And what we want with this series is we want to say front and center, loud and clear, we want this church to be a church where we have a deep and profound spirituality. We don't want to be superficial, flash in the pan, less to us than meets the eye. We want to be the kind of people that know something of God. Like those mystics of old who would spend hours in prayer and days in prayer and weeks in prayer. And they'd have visions, and they'd have revelations, and they'd be changed, and they'd have numinous experiences that they could not explain any other way. But they knew that you are blessed when you dwell, when you dwell. When you dwell, when you stay, when you're rooted, when you're stationary, when you're solid, when you're fixed in the presence of God. Tuning out all the noise, all the distractions, I am just dwelling. And so with Psalm 84, very, very clear. You've got it. This is the message. You've got to have a desire for a deep personal spirituality. That's what he says. My heart, my flesh cry out. My soul yearns for your courts. I have a desire to be like the sparrows and the swallows. The natural world gets this. I want to reconnect with what is really fundamentally important, a deep connected spirituality. That's blessed. Just be still, just remain, just dig deeper into your own spirituality. But then it completely changes its mind. So it starts off saying, blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. But then it goes on and it says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Everyone say pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage. Now that word that the psalmist is using, it's literally, it means blessed are those who have highways in their hearts. A highway runs through their hearts. You say, well, hang on a minute. I thought you said that we were just supposed to dwell, to be centered, to be still, to be rocked, to be anchored in with the presence of God and just my own deep personal piety and spirituality. But now you say, blessed are those who have a highway in your heart. You can't do both. You can't dwell and stay, but also have a highway and be on pilgrimage. And yet, this is what we're called to do. This is the paradox. It says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. So not only is it talking about an image of people that are on a journey, people that are fundamentally restless, people that are moving from place to place, who are in progress, in transit, in a progression. But it says the place that you're moving through and the journey that you're on is through the Valley of Baca. Now, who knows where the Valley of Baca is? Shout out all you Bible experts. No one knows where the Valley of Baca is. Trick question. There is no Valley of Baca that we're aware of. It feels like we're trying to, and this is a song, you know, Matt writes songs, he's one of the greatest songwriters that we've got. And when you write songs, you're trying to put things out for people, not just to sit and study with a pen and pencil, but to feel. The songwriter says, don't worry about where it is, feel it. Baca literally means tears. It's also the name of some kinds of tree. We think it might be the balsam tree or the myrtle tree. Why? Because those trees, they're found in arid desert places, wilderness trees. And what they do is they secrete a kind of sticky resin. So it looks for all the world that the tree itself is weeping. The Valley of Baca is such a difficult, tragic place. Even the trees are crying tears. And it doesn't say, if they pass through the Valley of Baca, or perhaps should they pass through the Valley of Baca, it says, as they pass. In other words, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to have faith, is no guarantee that my life is going to be a walk in the park. Quite the opposite. It's a guarantee that I'm going to pass through the Valley of Baca. Some of you know what it's like right now to be in the Valley of Baca. Because over the last few months, you lost relationships, or you lost loved ones, or you lost opportunities, or you lost your way, you got confused, and you're not quite sure what's happening. Some of you, you're just hanging on to your mental health by a thread. Some of you, you had great things that you were looking for, and now they don't seem like they're going to happen at all. It's the Valley of Baca. It's a place of dryness and difficulty. And when we first hear this psalm and it's spoken or sung to us, we get a bit of hope because we think we can pass through the Valley of Baca and we will be okay. I can get through it, and with God by my side, I can be okay. But that is not what it says. It says, as they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. In other words, you, as a mystic radical, you literally transform the climate of where you're walking through. You take this dry, arid place of tears and you make it a place of springs. That word spring that's translated there, the actual Hebrew word is a Hebrew word called mechan, and it is most often translated either fountains or wells. And in this context, King James Version and other versions of the Bible, they actually translate it as wells. And I think that's a more accurate translation because a spring is basically a man-made well. So this is not about one plucky traveler using determination and grit, resilience to get through a hard time. This is about a group of people. It says, blessed are those who have set their hearts on pilgrimage, whose strength is in you. No longer just me with my faith and my spirituality and my hunger for God and my desire to push further into the glorious hidden things of God and faith. That is held at the same time as me with those people, a community, a group who are traveling through the Valley of Baca and transforming it. You can't make a well on your own. That's a surefire way to die at the bottom of a deep hole. And if you are going to dig a well in the desert, in the wilderness, you've got to go deep. You've got to go deeper. It's a lot harder effort. If I was to travel through a valley of dryness and tears on my own and just hope to get through it, like most of us do when we have hard times, then I would conserve my energy. I would use my resources for myself. I would get refreshment where I can. But these guys, they don't roll like that. They basically move together as a community, as a gang, as a group, and they work together. They expend tremendous energy and effort. They have the vision and they have the energy to create wells in the desert. This is the mystic radical. It's someone that's transforming the area that they go through in life while at the same time having a deep-centered relationship, a mystical pursuing of the relationship with God. It's an amazing thing. Best example I can give of a mystic radical is Jesus himself. Jesus is the ultimate. He's the one that spends hours and days in contemplation, hours and nights in prayer. He has this incredible relationship with God, his Father. He says, I never do anything unless I see my Father doing it first. That he is in such perfect, unbroken communion with his Father. And yet at the same time, wherever he goes, he's changing situations. Best example, the transfiguration. You find that in the Gospels. He takes Peter and James and John, his three kind of closest disciples. And the Bible says he takes them up a very high mountain. And on top of this mountain, they have an incredible experience of the transcendent awesomeness of God. And Jesus is just transfigured so that his face shines like the noonday sun. His clothes shine whiter than any washing can bring them. Moses and Elijah appear at his sides. A voice from heaven comes out. This is my son. Listen to him. And Peter, James, and John, they have this, it's a good instinct actually. Peter says, let's make some tabernacles. Let's make a dwelling place. Let's stay here. I just want to be on this mountain. I just want to be in this incredible experience with God. I just want to get more of the presence of Jesus. Heaven and earth have come together and I'm somehow part of it and nothing else in life matters. And could we just stay here the whole time? And Jesus says, no, this is good and this is wonderful and you're going to hold on to this and we're going to come back to experiences like this, but we've got to go down the mountain. We've got to get back into the valley because we've got to dig some wells because there's a young boy and he is trying to kill himself and he is oppressed and he has all kinds of spiritual bondage that's holding him back and there's a father whose heart is breaking and there's a situation which is intractable. We've got to go and we've got to dig some wells. We've got to change that situation. And what God is calling from disciples of Christ is that we are mystics trapped in the body of activists, that we have a heart and a passion for the deep and wonderful hidden things of God, but at the same time, we are active in our communities. We're changing the landscape in which we live. There are some Christians who think they don't even want to do church. I don't need church. I don't have to have church. I can just have my faith on my own, just be a mystic. And they miss out on that whole thing of how we create, transform, build wells together. And there are some people that are all about, yeah, we've got to be active, we've got to do stuff, but there's no spiritual depth there. In fact, the thing with Jesus and the boy at the bottom of the mountain in the valley space is the disciples working and doing their best. They just couldn't help the kid. They were just powerless. And Jesus comes down and he says, this type comes only through prayer. You've got to have some kind of experience of the raw power of heaven in order to see this stuff go through. I think about my own faith. I think about my own life. I think I would be there with the disciples just hitting a brick wall. We can't do anything for this person. We can't make any progress. And Jesus is saying, you need to have a deeper spirituality. There are many valleys that we face. It might be personal, relational, social, physical. But actually, the very space in which we live is a valley of Baca. Think about Bristol. We exist as a church because we want to serve our city of Bristol. And what we've said is we want to have a vision for a church that encapsulates both the mystical and the radical. So we created a vision. When we started 6 years ago, we had a vision. And it was, well, part of it was find and follow. So when we first started the Metro vision, we jumbled it up. It wasn't find, love, follow, serve. It was find, follow, love, serve. Because it seemed to make sense that you find and you follow Jesus. First of all, we want people to find Jesus because that's where heaven and earth intersects. That's where you're going to find spiritual fulfillment. And once that's happened, we want you to be able to follow Jesus. In other words, to be discipled, to be inspired, to be encouraged, to have someone walking alongside you so that you can go deep in your faith, not just have a shallow faith. Oh, I'm a Christian now, that's it. It's just a little part of my life, a little bit of Jesus topping on my cake. No, it was this idea that we could have a mystical relationship with Jesus, that we would push ourselves forward to a greater, deeper commitment. So we help people find Jesus with things like our Alpha course, and we help people follow Jesus with things like our mentoring. But then we add in these two ones, to love and to serve. We want to help people find Jesus and love one another, then follow Jesus and serve the city. And find and follow are about the mystical, but love and serve, they're about the radical. They're about the person that changes things. And we said this is the vision for church, that we gather together people who would not necessarily in any other context come together like this, but we bring them together under the banner of the love of Jesus, and they learn to love one another. In a world that is more socially distant than ever before, we create community which is refreshing and energizing and no strings attached. And it's not based on what you can give or how you can be. It's based on the fact that God loves us and so we love one another. And then we wanted to serve our city because our city, Bristol, it's a valley of Baca. It's a dry place. Let me give you some stats on Bristol. Bristol is maybe one of the most active and artistic places in the UK. It's voted most artistic city in the UK. But actually, the rates of diagnosed depression are significantly higher in Bristol than anywhere else in the UK. We're way above the national average. Nearly 13% of people in Bristol are diagnosed with a diagnosis of clinical depression. That's 55,600 people. We have self-harm in young people, which is, again, significantly higher than the national average. And guess what? It is climbing. It's not leveling off. It is on a steep curve. The suicide rate in Bristol is higher, again, significantly higher than the national average. A city that has so much, a city that is so blessed, and yet the rates of suicide are high, particularly in the young and students. The number of alcohol-related hospital admissions, greater than the UK average. Life expectancy, lower than the UK average. And we have 3 out of the 4 worst performing neighborhoods in the whole of the UK in terms of academic achievement. In other words, the gap between rich and poor is nowhere greater than it is in our city of Bristol. And we have of the 4 worst performing areas of kids being able to achieve their potential, 3 of the whole bottom 4 in the country are in Bristol. And it's a valley. It's a valley of Baca. We are living in the cocaine capital of Europe. We're living in a place of such artistic freedom and vibrancy, and yet so much injustice, disproportionate distribution of wealth and opportunity. Even the differences between the rich and the poor in terms of life expectancy, they're off the charts. And we could be the kind of church that just gathers together and worships God and encourages one another. Be personally pious. And that would be a great thing, but it doesn't go far enough. We have to be a group of people that pass through the valley of Baca. And don't just pass through it and get to the other side of it and we're okay. No, we transform it. When we started Metro, we said to people, we want to have a church that if we cease to exist, the city would miss us. We want to be missed if we didn't exist, if we stopped meeting, rather than just we would miss it because we liked each other and we had some funky times in that old We the Curious. No, we want the world at large, the city at large. We would like the city to miss us. But I feel like I want to just change that. I want to add something to that. I want it to be that even if we cease to exist, there would be a transformation that stayed. Because someone that passes through the valley of Baca that makes it a place of springs, that spring, that well is there for anybody and everybody else. It's not just that I made it through, I got through, I had my faith, I had my resources. No, it's like I came through and I saw dryness and need and I did something. And that's why over this next year, we want to do as much as we can to hit those twin goals and dreams and desires to have a mystical relationship with God. I want us to be a kind of church that's full of people who deeply know God, who have a love for God, who've seen something that they cannot unsee, whose faith is more than skin deep. I want us to be that. And I want us to bring other people into that experience. That's why Alpha is such a big thing. October the 6th, about a month's time, we're going to be kicking off our next Alpha course. And so for anybody that doesn't know about faith, or they've got questions, they're not sure about it, or they want to explore it, this is the perfect opportunity. We want to create space for that. But we also want to create space in our Sunday services. That's why from next week onwards, we go back to two services, a 5 and a 7. We could easily fit people in, well, maybe. We could continue to live like this. It's actually quite nice. You get a big buzz when the room is full, even if it's socially distanced full. Hello, 2021. But we don't want a buzz for ourselves. We want space for other people. We want them to have the experience of meeting God, being in His courts, being in His presence. And following, we want to continue with our mentoring. We have the app and we have now around about 50% of people in the church meeting with someone else as a kind of spiritual director or just a friend giving a little bit of support once a month, saying, asking the question, how can I get closer in my relationship with God? But we want to serve the city. So next week, Claire's going to come in and talk to us a little bit about how we can grow and develop our spirituality so that we have that beautiful experience of, oh, I know God. I know that He is lovely and I am blessed in His presence. And then Sam's going to talk about some of the stuff that we want to do and how we press into that, how we are going to be looking at supporting, mentoring for ex-offenders, how we're coming alongside to make a positive impact on food security issues with the poorest in Bristol, how we can do something, and we've got our Headspace initiative that we're just launching for mental well-being in Bristol. This is a well that we're going to dig. We dig it together. A well so powerful that people across our city that you will never meet will have their lives turned around. And when we are looking back in years to come, people will look on Bristol and they will say, suicide rate is lower than the national average. It's dropped. Something happened. We don't understand it. We don't know. I want Spads in Whitehall to be looking at the statistics saying, we just don't get it. But Bristol, everything is reversed. But God knows, because we've been building wells. We want to be mentoring and tutoring kids, disadvantaged kids, at their most vulnerable times in some of the local schools that need it the most. We have a whole host of things. It means that as a church, we're going to be really good. We're going to be match fit because we're used to serving one another. We bring back our service as we serve the church and as we volunteer with what we're doing in order that we can create this kind of band of pilgrims moving through a valley and somehow transforming it. So there's a whole bunch of things to do. We want to have a family service sometime next year where we can have kids and children and, you know, maybe a little bit more of an age range. All these couples getting married, we're like, quick, build a crash. We need to do something fast. These people cannot control themselves. We've got to work at this and make something happen super quick. Matt's going like, oh my goodness. Olive's going, hmm? it would be easy to look at this and think, oh my goodness, we get this every year. Every time there's a birthday, no sooner have the candle's been blown out that Philip's given us his nose to the grindstone, get working and make stuff happen and volunteer and give your money and all that stuff, and it's hard work. And some of you are thinking, yeah, I love the vision, but have you looked at the situation lately? We've been here for some time and things don't seem to change. Or you look at it and you think, yeah, I get it. Mystic radical. I want to be a mystic radical. I want to have that incredible experience of God on a day-to-day basis. I want to go deeper in my faith. I want to know what life is all about. And I want to be transformative and radical and change. But I just don't know if it can happen because I know my own limitations and I know the difficulty of the issues that we face. And that's why I am so, so glad that the psalm doesn't end there. In fact, we're not even halfway through. Because it carries on and it says this. It says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. That's our job. That's our work. That's our commitment. But then it says, the autumn rains also cover it with pools. And at this point you go, wait, what? Suddenly, there's a divine intervention. We've been digging these wells in a dry, weary, dusty bowl of a valley. And then suddenly, the sound of rain. Wow. The sound of rain comes down. And before you know it, this place is a place of pools. And that word pools, it literally means blessing. It means rain, blessings of rain, blessing. It's like, I'm blessed, we're blessed, and now the land is blessed. And then it says, they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. In other words, this. We have a vision as church of what we want to be. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you just to make some commitments to yourself, not for anybody else, just for you. But we have this determination to put our hand and our shoulder to the wheel. We're going to make this place a place of springs. But rather than going from strength to weariness to just exhausted to disillusioned, when God is in the picture, we go from strength to strength to strength to strength. And it's crazy and it's impossible and it defies all kinds of logic, but it's real. I can't do this in my own strength. We can't see a city changed in our own strength. But we're looking now more than ever to see God do what only God can do. God looks for people who will stand up and say, we'll be mystic radicals. We'll be fully focused on dwelling and staying and remaining in God's presence. We will practice the art of rhythms of retreat and Sabbath and fasting and prayer and stillness and contemplation. And we'll go deep and people will never see it, but we'll have a secret history with God. But at the same time, we won't hold back from making a difference wherever we can, be it through prayer, through activity, through action, through heart, through being a community that welcomes other people in. And then God says, I can work with this. And I have such rains to bring down upon you. I will rain upon you such a blessing that your whole city will be saturated with the blessing of God, that it will be sodden and it will be overflowing with blessing. God can do great things. Do you believe that God wants to do great things through us? Because I tell you, it's true. I wouldn't say it, I wouldn't stand up here if it wasn't true. And for each of us personally, one day, you're going to stand before God. One day, you're going to see Jesus face to face. And the promise is this. You go from strength to strength to strength. The further you go, the more that you achieve, the stronger and the more energetic you become. So here's our big idea. It's simply this. Mystic radicals combine a deep personal spirituality and love of God's presence with an active, loving service that transforms the world for others. They bring God's blessing to dry valleys. What we're going to do now is we're going to just do a little thing. It's a little exercise. This is completely for you. You'll find on your chair or under your chair a little card, very environmentally printed, so you can barely read it. But it's got a few things that we can be investing in. Some of them are on the mystical side. Some of them are on the radical. It's things like getting involved in hub life. I want to make a commitment to, or a recommitment back to my weekly hub. For some, it's mentoring. I've never had that before, or I would like to offer it for someone else. For some, it's worship. When I say worship, I mean this here, gathering together to worship God, because our act of worship is an act of well digging. For some, it's going to be giving. You know, nothing happens without money. The more that we sow into God's kingdom, the more we reap of what God can do just financially. It releases things. So if you want to be giving, or you want to increase your giving, that's where to go. For others, it's serving. How can I serve the city? And we'll talk a little bit more about that in 2 weeks' time. Make sure you don't miss that. Then there's volunteering, there's alpha, there's leadership, your devotional life, which is just between you and God. There's metro prayer. There's no greater way to dig wells than praying. And Thursday morning, starting again from next week, Thursday, 7:30 on Zoom, we gather together, we pray, we dig wells, we make a difference. So just invite the band to come up, and I'd like you just to take a couple moments. I'd like you to tick the things, maybe two or three, that you think, yeah, I want to concentrate on these things. And then on the back of the card, why not just write for yourself something that summarizes your ambition? It might be a prayer that you want to pray before God. It might be a goal or an ambition, a statement of intent. It might just be a couple of things that you want to use to remind yourself of what you feel that God is saying to you right now. But we're going to give a little bit of space, and then we're going to worship, and we'll just worship God. He is the intersection between heaven and earth. He's the one that comes and lifts our souls, gives them what we've been looking for. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Him, because He made us, and He made us for Himself. So we want to be those that say, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns for your courts. My heart, my flesh cry out for the living God. I want to be blessed, and I want to move from strength to strength. I want to dwell in your presence, and I want to dig wells in your world. So, Father, would you help us now? Would you speak to us? Would you encourage us? Lord, let this not be a whip to beat us, but let it be a calling to inspire us. And, Father, I pray that you'd right now be just dropping things into our individual hearts of how we can be these mystic radicals that change the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.